Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So we are in the middle of a series, well, we're heading towards the end of it now. We're on part number 7 on the blessed life and what it means to have a blessed life. And it's interesting because, you know, as we share and we go deeper and deeper into this, I think you'll realize that when the Lord speaks to us about what it means to truly be blessed, He's really addressing your inner man more than anything else. We have a tendency to think that being blessed comes from things from the outside, but He's addressing us directly on the inside. Things that we have to deal with, decisions that we have to make from within that will affect everything that takes place on the outside. You know, so let's take a look at it. Matthew 5, verse number 1 says, "And seeing the multitude, He went up on a mountain. And when He was seated, His disciples came to Him. Then He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.'" And this week we're going to be touching on, "Blessed are the poor in heart, the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now remember, every single one of these, every time we see what we are required to do in order for us to be blessed, God gives us what the result of that will be. So like, for example, poor in spirit, He says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who will be merciful, blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful for the mercy I've already received and greatly desire for it to continue flowing towards me. Amen. So the one thing we have to do in order to receive that blessing of mercy that constantly comes at us is we have to show mercy. That's not always so easy as we learned last week. And you'll find out as we go on that all of these things again deal with the heart, deal with issues in the heart. And it's amazing that that's what we're actually talking about this morning. Because the Bible says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." And we'll talk about seeing God a little bit later on in the sermon. It's very interesting because the biblical scholars of that day, the Pharisees, the scribes, the religious leaders, they would focus and concentrate more on moral behavior than anything else. They would concentrate on what you do on the outside. In fact, the scribes and Pharisees looked at rules, and those rules would determine how holy you were, how righteous you were. I want you to know that there are over 600 rules. That's a lot of rules. It is actually funny because most of us judge kind of like that anyway. We always look at the outward, what people say and, you know, the way they act. And that determines the way we would make a judgment, unfortunately, on how they are, right? And God doesn't really work that way. And Jesus had a lot to say about what the Pharisees would do. You see, the Pharisees and the religious leaders, I said in the first group, I kind of feel a little bit sorry for them. And I think we give them a bit of a hard time because the truth is their dedication in some ways is unmatchable in the sense that they were so dedicated to knowing the word. When they were very young, most of those guys, I mean, to become one of those religious leaders, you had to be the cream of the crop. You had to know the word. You had to recite the Torah. I mean, you had to know it. So they understood, they had the principles and all that stuff, but they would also kind of lord over the people. And they would you know, be very hard on the people with all the rules. And if you didn't follow the rules, you're going to be cut off. You're not going to be blessed. So it became very difficult. And the problem is that on the outside with the Pharisees, everything looked good, but there was a problem on the inside. And Jesus points this out. In Matthew 15, verse number 7, He says this. And I want you to see it because a lot of times we think Jesus was very soft-spoken. But if you know anything about English, you'll know that an exclamation means that it was loud. So when He says this in Matthew 15, verse number 7, He says, "Hypocrites! Exclamation mark. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.' Matthew 23, verse 27. Watch this, because this is hectic. Matthew 23, verse 27, he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," again there, exclamation mark, "for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly." And it's interesting because that's exactly, you know, what we have a tendency to sometimes do. We have a tendency to think that, you know, as long as people can see that I'm pure, or that I'm good, or that I'm righteous, that's okay. And from the outside, it describes what looks so wonderful. But take a look at what's going on the inside. Because he says, you are like whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful on the outward, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. In other words, they may have known the truth, but they were not connected to God. Something was wrong on the inside of them. You see, it's amazing because Jesus, when he came on the scene, he taught very differently. He didn't talk necessarily all the time about what you should do from an experiential thing. More, he focused far more on what's going on the inside of you. You see, Jesus concentrated when he taught about us changing, about us transforming, about us becoming more like God, getting closer to God. He spoke primarily about the heart. So let's take a look at it. In 1 Samuel 16, verse number 7, it says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." You see, the reality is that pure actions without pure motives is not pure at all. So you can do pure actions and you can look like you're doing the right stuff, but inside there's just darkness. And Jesus was always focusing on how we need to change on the inside. So he taught us that in order for us to deal with moral behavior, we first have to deal with the heart. You see, the truth is that because our hearts are basically what drives us, it's basically the part of us that drives us. If we deal just with moral behavior, and moral behavior is important, we should live right before God. Don't misunderstand me. But if you're just cutting off all the moral behavior but not dealing with the heart, that tree will grow again. The limbs will continue to grow again. So in Mark 7, verse 14, this is what he says. Jesus speaking now. Then Jesus called to the crowd to come and hear. "All of you listen," he said, "and try to understand. It is not what goes into your body that defiles you. You are defiled by what comes from your heart." Then Jesus went into the house to get away from the crowd, and his disciples asked him what he meant by the parable he had just used. "Don't you understand either?" he asked. "Can't you see that the food you put into your body cannot defile you? Food doesn't go into your heart, but only passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer." By saying this, he declared that every kind of food is acceptable in God's eyes. And then he added, "It is what comes from inside that defiles you. For from within, out of the person's heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these vile things come from within. They are what defile you." So in other words, it comes from inside of us. But the problem is not all those things. The problem is the heart. The problem is the heart. So how do we get a pure heart? How does our heart change? What do we need to do? Does everybody in this place say, "I want a pure heart"? Come on. Amen. I don't know about you, but that's my desire. But when I look, you know, I think I can be poor in spirit. I can do that. I can try. I can do that, you know. I can be merciful. But a pure heart, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. And the reason why it's a tough one is because the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17, verse number 8, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So it's telling us, listen, you've got a problem because your heart, it's desperately wicked. It's funny because Naomi and I had a conversation not too long ago about a pure heart, you know, and thinking that you have a pure heart. And we came to a conclusion that we probably don't have a clean heart, the way that most people perceive what a clean heart really is. Are you with me? So let's dig a little deeper this morning. I want us to come to this conclusion. A pure heart is not simply a sinless person. Because if that were true, you and I would have absolutely no chance. That being said, that doesn't mean that we must go out and just live sinlessly, sinfully, because that is foolishness. God wants us to live a pure and a holy life, right? But the truth is that in order for us to deal with a defilement, something needs to change. Our hearts need to change. So Psalm 15, verse number 1, there's a beautiful expression of what a pure heart looks like. Watch this now. Psalm 15, verse number 1. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Now think about what the scripture says in Matthew. If you have a pure heart, you'll be able to see God. Now the psalmist is busy saying, who may abide in your tabernacle and who may dwell in your holy hill? In other words, who is it that will have access to you? Who is it that will have access to your presence? Who is it that will have access to you? Who will you reveal yourself to, Lord? And then he goes on and he says, he who walks uprightly and works righteousness. And the next part's what I want us to focus on this morning. And speaks the truth in his heart. So a pure heart is a true heart. Is a heart that understands and faces the truth. You see, we have a choice in life to make a decision on how we will follow God. Will we follow Him and do it our way? If we do it our way, we may on the outward look like we're doing all the right stuff, but inwardly, we're not really being obedient and following Him with our heart. It's interesting because what does it mean to have a true heart, a pure heart? In Acts number 13, verse 22, the Bible tells us about David. Now, I love it that they use this illustration because the truth is if you take the scripture off for a minute, just a minute, and we'll put it back on in a minute. The truth is that if you look at the life of David, he is anything but pure. And if you think he was pure, you need to go read Kings and Chronicles and Samuel and go and find out. Because there was a lot of things that David did that was not pure. You know, David made a lot of mistakes. David did a lot of things wrong. David ended up having an affair. We know about that. I feel so bad even talking about it because the poor guy. You know, he had a terrible affair. And then he ends up putting one of his best friends on the front line so that he can end up having this woman, making sure that he ends up dying. David was so bad that on his deathbed, they said, listen, put a woman in his bed. And then they said, okay, no, he's definitely dying. But it's interesting how God defines how David is. Watch this now. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Everything that David did that was not right, he suffered for it. There were consequences for the sin that he had, and they were tough consequences. But there was something incredible about David. Let's go to Acts 13, verse 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David. When he had removed Saul, that's what he's saying. When he had removed Saul, He raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, now watch, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after, now this is God speaking, a man after my own heart. Why was he a man after God's own heart? What made him? What qualified him? What made it happen that he was a man after God's own heart? Watch this. Who will do all my will. That was the key to David's heart. Is that even though David sinned, even though David made mistakes, even though David did things wrong, one thing is so evident when you read the scriptures, you'll find out that he was so passionate about God. He was so passionate to do the will of God that he would do the most crazy stuff. Like he would rock up when the children of Israel are fighting against the Philistines and everybody's terrified. But he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he will defile the armies of the Lord? And he has a heart after God's heart. You see, no one else would take on the Philistine that God says, listen, I can flick that Philistine just like that and sort him out. But none of you believe it. But David got there and he said, come on, what's wrong with you? Let's go and kill that uncircumcised Philistine. He had a desire. His will, his desire was to do the will of the Father. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, I did not come to do my own will. He said, I came to do the will of my Father. There is something special about an individual. We can't necessarily do it like Jesus did. David gives me a bit of hope. But the truth is that we should be a people that say, Lord, I want to do things your way. I want to do it the way you want me to do it. I want your will, not my own will in your life. That's a person that has a heart after God's heart. A person that pursues the truth. One thing about David is whenever he was caught out or whenever he sinned, go and read the Psalms, that how he cries out to God, confesses his sins, admits his mistakes. Even when he was punished severely, he ends up going before God and not once blaming God for his own faults. Why? Because he had truth in his heart. He had the truth of God's word in his heart. Well, what about my marriage? Well, what does God say about your marriage? Well, how should I raise my children? Well, what does God say about your children? As soon as you do it your way, the truth is not in you. A true heart will cause you. A true heart will cause you to be pure. A true heart is a pure heart. What is truth? Well, Jesus said it simply. I am the way. I am the truth. He is the truth. If you pursue him, if you pursue his will, if you pursue his ways, the word of God is the truth. There is no other truth besides the word of God. I was sent a message the other day. Oh. What's my position on transgender? Well, it's pretty simple. What does the word of God say? My authority is his authority. I follow his authority. It doesn't matter what I think. What does the Bible say? There's my answer. You want to know my answer? There's my answer. I love everyone. I love them enough to tell them the truth. Because the truth will give them a pure heart. Are you with me, guys? Your heart can never change if you pursue lies. If you pursue falseness, if you pursue your own ways, listen, the flesh is weak. The flesh wants to do its own thing. The flesh wants to change things to make it more comfortable. You think God put rules and things in place so that it could be uncomfortable? No, he put it in place to save you. But instead of focusing on trying to change everything, make him your heart's desire, like David. Make him your heart's desire. David made God his heart's desire. Man, the way the guy wrote, I'm jealous. I was so very jealous. I say to God always when I'm praying, I say, Lord, I have nothing else to say. I don't know what to say. And I think, yes, but David knew what to say. And I can see how he loved it. I can see how the Lord delights in it. how he takes pleasure in it. That's a pure heart. It's interesting, the Pharisees, the very Pharisees that talk about David as the one who the Messiah will come from, and he was the great king, and you know, he put him on the same level. A lot of Hebrew scholars will tell you that a lot of the children of Israel would place the Messiah just above David, some not even. These very ones that talk about how bad we are. But yet David was pretty bad. But yet he had an upright heart in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because he pursued the truth. And the Bible tells us that the truth will set you free. What's the answer for your heart? There's only one answer. And that is the truth. The truth is what will change you. The truth is what will bring deliverance. That's the only way. Man, Jesus was so clever. Hey, think about it. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. In other words, listen, if you want to know how to live, if you want to know what to do, if you want to know the answer, if you want to know the solution, if you want to know, all you have to do is come to me. All you have to do is come to me. All you have to do is desire me. All you have to do is desire to do the will of the Father. All you have to do is follow me. That's all we have to do. It's not that difficult. Amen. The result of a pure heart, or a person that is pure-hearted, is the Bible says that they will see God. Man, I cannot tell you how this has been the desire of my heart, to see more of God, to encounter Him more. The word see there in the Greek is the word, it basically means see. It means appear, become visible, perceive, or experience. In other words, if you are someone that desires His will, desires the truth, desires to seek after Him, what will happen is you will see more of Him. He will become more visible to you. You will experience Him more. Look at David. Do you really believe that there's any physical way that David could walk down, pick up a little stone? Now, you could sit there and go, well, scientifically, you know, if it lands right in this spot and da-da-da-da-da. Listen, it's God, man. He's the one who did it. David broke rules with the tabernacle. Why? Because of his heart. We focus often on the bad things he did, but listen, David was amazing. When David built the tabernacle, he said, listen, there's going to be worship all day long. We're not just going to put the ark in there. We're going to play music all day before the Lord. We're going to worship Him all day long. And I'm thinking God must be sitting in heaven going, man, now that's a man after my heart. That's a person that desires my heart. Someone that wants to bring pleasure. Someone that wants to release an aroma that comes from the earth that's always pleasing. And the psalmists would go before the ark and they would write psalms. Many of the psalms were written right in front of the ark. That's why when you read them, they're so powerful. That's why when you read them, they release the anointing into your life, because they were written in the very presence of God. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a clap in this place. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a shout in this place. If you want to be pure in heart, desire to seek after Him, desire to seek after His ways, desire to seek the truth, and your heart will change. You can clearly see in his life that God made himself. He showed himself more to David. There's a beautiful scripture in Ephesians 1, verse number 15. I've preached on this many times. It's one of my, I have too many favorite scriptures. It's one of my favorite scriptures in Ephesians chapter number 1. Verse number 15. Therefore I also, this is Paul addressing the church. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, did not cease to give thanks for you. In other words, Paul's saying, when I heard about what's happening in this church in Ephesus, the fact that you guys have faith, and I hear about your faith, and I hear about your love, and I hear about what's going on in the church, I do not cease to give thanks, because he's so happy, he's so excited. Paul started a work there, and he's hearing that that work had continued, and that they're working in faith, and they're walking in love, and that things are happening, and the church is growing, and it's healthy. Paul is so excited. And then he makes the most profound statement. Watch. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And now he's about to tell them what he's asking God to do for them. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, we all know who that is, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. In other words, what he's trying to tell them is, he's saying, listen, I've heard of your faith. I've heard of your love. He says, so I'm praying every day that God will begin to reveal more of himself to you. You see, the only one who can decide to show more of God to you is he himself. But the Bible tells us that blessed are the pure in heart, because they will see God. Paul is addressing a church that is being faithful, that is full of faith and love. And he's saying, listen, it sounds to me like you're on the right track. It sounds to me like you're heading in the right direction. So my prayer for you, church, if you're pursuing God, if you're desiring him, if you're going after him, is that you will arrive, that you will become filled with his knowledge, that he will fill you with more of who he is, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you will begin to know who he is, and he will begin to show you more of who you are, your purpose, your destiny, the reason that you are here. The more you pursue him, the more you find out who you are. Hallelujah. I understand this because this is how I feel about you. Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them, that you would fill them, Lord, with your glory. Lord, everywhere they go, that they would be saturated with your presence. Lord, everywhere they go, that their families would be touched by your presence, your glory, your love. Lord, that the truth would rule in their house, that every father would stand at the head of their home and declare that this house belongs to the Lord, and me and my house, we will serve the Lord all the days of our life. That every family would hold fast to your statutes, your ways, your limitations, that we will desire your desires over all other desires. That's what he's saying. Lord, reveal more of who you are to them, so that they can begin to understand, so that they can begin to see and know you more. That's the promise for those who are pure in heart. Isn't that powerful, guys? He is the only one who can reveal himself to you. And I love it because I know he puts it in there because he wants you to desire it. And his word says that blessed are those who do it. Blessed are those who do it. Let me read one more scripture and then I'm going to close. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36, verse 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you. You shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart. Everyone say a new heart. And put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and you will do them. When we pray, we say, Lord, my heart, is desperately wicked. So I need your heart. And I thank you that you've put your spirit in me. And your spirit in me, you will change my heart. Can you say amen? And you and the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you, will show you everything of the word. He will teach you. He will convict you. He will speak to you all the time. But if it's not your desire, your heart will never change. When you're faced with a decision whether to choose God's ways or your own ways, sometimes that's really hard because you're thinking, well, I'm sure God will be okay with this. It's either true or it isn't. Are you with me? Amen. And the promise, guys, is more of Him, and there can be nothing better than that. There can be nothing greater than that. Let's pray. Father, this morning we thank you so much for your great, great grace. We thank you for love and we thank you for mercy. We thank you for Jesus that died on the cross, that made a way, Father. We do not want to change on the outward. We want to change in our hearts. Thank you that you have put a new heart in us, that you have put a new spirit in us. And now if we only choose to follow you, to follow your ways, choose life and choose truth, choose the way, choose Jesus, everything can change. There is no truth outside of you. There is no life outside of you. And so I pray this morning for every precious person in this place, Lord. We all desire to be blessed. And so we desire you. You are the desire of our hearts. I thank you this morning for every precious person, their families, their loved ones. Father, thank you that we are not where we used to be, that we continue to grow from faith to faith and from glory to glory. I bless every person this morning. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship with the Spirit be with each of you in this week. Go in the peace of God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.